Man, I can't. It's so crazy now. I can't separate HBCU life and survivor life anymore, bro. Because had I not gone to an HBCU, I probably would have gotten voted out of Survivor the first day. Let me connect this, bro. It's the resourcefulness.
Survivor had
them online. Yeah, yeah, yes, bro. Like. The resourcefulness that you learn from an HBCU will take you far in life. You know, those long lines at the bursar, you know.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Yard Link Up, presented by Historically Black Sense. Now, as you all should know by now, I'm DC, and I got a special co-host with me today, my dog. What's happening, homie?
What's good, what's good, what's good? I'm the co-host for today. I am Aaron Blue, graduate of the Alabama A&M University, and I am CEO of New Wave Corporated. What's good?
Okay. Now, we do have a very special guest here with us today, but before we get into it with him, I got my dog. DJ Duce, represent Albany State, back there in the back. Yeah. Now, as usual, what he gonna do? He gonna give us something to start the show off with. Duce, man, my guy. Hey, you know you always coming with it, man.
Just a little something.
That's tough.
You got me feeling tough. Like I'm in the club or something, man. But I'm going to tone it down for the podcast just a little bit. But like I said, man, today, you know, we got a very, very dope guest here with us, man. So, you know, without further ado, none other than Mr. David Reckenbacker.
Yes, sir. That's it.
There we go.
You got it, man.
All right. There we go, man. Thank you for coming on the show,
man. Appreciate y'all having me, man. I'm loving the energy here today. Ready to talk with y'all boys.
Hey, man. I appreciate it, man. So, you know what? Normally, what we would do, we'll hop right into the series part of the interview.
Okay.
But first, what I want to do, I want you to get some years ready. Now, what year were you at Tuskegee University, first and foremost? We're going to start on a light note.
Okay. So, I have 2 degrees from Tuskegee, so I was there. I came in 05 for my bachelor's, and I got out in 10, and then I took a little break, and then I came back in 14 and got out with my master's in 16. So I was there for a little bit, man.
Congratulations.
You got it done. You definitely got it done. So what we do on this show, Duce plays a song.
Okay.
From the era and the time that you were at Tuskegee.
Okay.
And tell us what comes to your mind when you hear this song.
I love it.
All right, you ready, Duce?
Let's
see what we got here. Okay. Hey, that's I had to hard. Let them ride for a minute. That's that Boosie Boo right there.
That's where you put your Tims on right there.
I'm telling you, if you done been to a mix or a step show or probate or anything,
get out the way.
They done played that Boosie.
Get out the way.
You feel me?
If you ain't greet, get out the way.
Get out the way.
Well, you know what? I don't want them to think we're excluding nobody.
Hey, no.
I'll get in the way. Get in the way. But, what comes to mind when you hear that song from your college years?
Man, first thing that comes to mind, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of this place, but it's the world famous Soul Inn. I know
Wait,
y'all from Alabama?
We know the Soul Inn.
I went to state, but I spent some time in Tuskegee now. Soul
Inn, exactly
one way
what you're talking about. Don't wear no good shoes there now.
Exactly.
Don't wear no good shoes there.
Now, do you have a particular memory or you just going to leave the Soul Inn? I don't want to. The statute of limitations, are they up? I don't know.
I don't know, man. I got some memories at the Soul, but I can't think of one I can pinpoint at the moment.
All right, well, we gonna leave it there, man. Yeah. Now, what I do want to do right now is actually get into the main part of the interview.
Okay.
And like I said, I don't want to give it all away. Just during the introduction.
Yeah.
You know. We're gonna do first thing first. A contestant on Survivor season 37.
That's right.
Now, how in the world, Survivor? You hear people about, you know, being on reality shows, doing entertainment, but I haven't really come across anyone who's been on Survivor because, and that's a, that was, that, is it still running? That was a long running show.
Yeah, man, we in
season 100 at this point.
Not for real.
Shout out to Survivor, though.
Yes, sir.
How did that come about?
So, I'm gonna wrap this in with HBCU. So
I was gonna get there too. It's all this whole podcast is about HBCU. I'm gonna circle back around. But how did you get it? How did this happen?
So I'm from a city called Orangeburg, South Carolina. You know Orangeburg. They've got two HBCUs there: South Carolina State University and Claflin University. And my church is like directly across from both of those schools.
Okay.
So we used to get all the college students coming over, all of the co-op students coming over, and we had one young lady who was co-oping as a guidance counselor, and my mom was the guidance counselor for the high school.
Plugged in.
Don't worry, I'm a connect.
Take your time.
So that co-op student was going to be on the upcoming season of Survivor, and she was a member of our church. And I'm like, Mom, can we watch this? You know, this seems like something I might be into. So we watched it, and she sucked. But to her credit, that was back in the old reality TV days when they would put one black person out there and about 50 white people. So she couldn't make no friends out there. She couldn't make no alliances.
No alliance.
She went out there praising God, and she rubbed everybody the wrong way, and they voted her black ass out of there.
It'd be like that. It'd be like that. I ain't gonna
lie to you, man. So to me, at that moment in my mind, I was like, nah, I gotta go out there and redeem her one day. And that's all she wrote.
Was it for her or was it for your people?
I mean, it was for my people. But it was for her too. She lives in Atlanta too, for sure.
Now, with that being said, how was, and I know how, you know, some shows run, some things you can say, some things you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
But how was that experience overall? And what is something that you may be able to tell us that didn't air? Yeah. That actually happened to you on Survivor.
Okay. Well, first of all, my contract has been over for years now. So.
I figured. I looked at the season 1000 right now.
Yeah, that was 2018. I ain't got no filter.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna get it real.
Okay.
So what's the first part you said?
Well, I'm gonna start out with what's. Was a major memory.
Okay.
Something that did happen when the cameras weren't rolling. Sure. That was like, oh man, like this is crazy.
Okay. Well, I mean, the cameras kind of caught it, but the first day I was out there, or the first episode that aired, the thing that set me apart the rest from everyone was I was a provider for my tribe. Gist of Survivor, let me explain, is every few days somebody gets voted out.
Yeah.
You have to make inroads with your tribe in order to win those games so your tribe doesn't go to tribal council and vote someone out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, me being a country boy from South Carolina, always been in the woods, always been an explorer. As a matter of fact, you know, that might have been a little bit of my nickname when I was younger, just being an explorer.
Country boy.
Yeah, Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. You know, I wore all of that on my sleeve. Okay. And so my number one asset out there was being a provider. So, like, the first 3 days, I caught an octopus, bro. octopus.
Out the water.
Bro. Yeah, man. Out the water.
Bare hands.
Honestly, bro.
Wait. Where was this season at?
We were in Fiji. All of them are in Fiji now.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how I did it, bro. Honestly, I got to give grace to God because I was praying, you know, God, let me do something to where these white folk won't vote my ass out.
So it called you.
Exactly. Yes, okay, bro. For sure. Seriously, he was sitting there right under a rock, like just chilling in the shallow end. I had just happened to have a spear in my hand. I was like, this can't be real life. Is this TV? Did they put this here for me? And I stabbed him. He inked everywhere, bro.
I was going to say, it's like ink. Do you know, first of all, do you know how much of a brave person, you know, I'm not going on nobody's Survivor. I'm going to put it out there just like that. You can catch me on a lot of stuff, but Survivor is not one of those shows that you would catch DC on.
I think Boy Scouts might be the only thing, the furthest thing I'm going to do.
Cub Scouts for me.
Cubs?
I ain't even going
nowhere.
I feel like going certain places was survival enough for me. Anyway, growing up.
I feel you on that too. Yeah.
That's very interesting, man. So now what I do want to do is I kind of want to change the gears a little bit.
Okay.
Tuskegee University.
Yes, sir.
What made you choose Tuskegee University? How did that happen? Tuskegee is a very prestigious institution. Mm-hmm. How, man? Was there any other schools that you were interested in?
I know, right?
What
happened?
You got South Carolina State, right?
Yeah,
now. Matter of fact, I got to get y'all to peep my shirt real
Tuskegee
quick.
Tuskegee and SC State, Clever Fam, yeah, you and Payne.
Yeah, man. So
you got everything
I'm
right
I'm going to explain this later
please
on.
Please do, sir.
Hey, everybody.
Please do.
But the thing is, so when I was younger, I did want to become a veterinarian. Okay. That didn't pan out because I got interested in some other things.
You was killing
out the now I'm going to go over.
We don't know about that now.
But Tuskegee has a great animal science program.
For sure,
they've
for
got
sure.
the veterinary program. So now, while Tuskegee was not my first choice, my first choice was North Carolina A&T. A&T is stingy with their money, man. I couldn't get no scholarship. I couldn't get no, I was from South Carolina, so they couldn't give me no in-state fee. And they said the only way I would have been able to go into A&T is if I was an accounting major.
Oh,
and that shit wasn't happening, bro, because math is not my strong suit.
Green, I can agree. Holding off right
now.
Yeah, I can agree with you. It's
exactly.
not mine either.
But no, I was from Orangeburg, so, you know, South Carolina State used to play A&T all the time.
Yeah.
We used to go to G-Ho all the time. You know, Claflin used to go up there all the time, so I really just that was really my own first introduction to HBCUs was those three schools. And little did I know, the president of Tuskegee University at that time was from my hometown.
Oh, that's still
yes, okay. He was from Orangeburg, South Carolina. My dad was well connected to where he knew him. I was able to get a scholarship, to, you know, get some money, but it wasn't stingy with it.
For sure,
I was also in the band in high school and I was able to get some money with that
as well. Oh, he was plugged in,
man. Yeah, so
what did you play in the band?
I was a trumpet player.
Come on now.
That's what's up.
So I got out now. I only spent 1 year on the band at Tuskegee because you can't have no kind of social life on there.
That's very important.
I can definitely believe that.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so you know, you're at Tuskegee. Now I wanna go to, you know, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
What made you choose Kappa Alpha Psi, or did Kappa choose you?
No, for sure. Well, I got to take it back to Orangeburg again, man.
Okay.
So my high school, we had what you'd call the junior Greek organizations.
Okay.
We had an organization called HLS. Mm-hmm. We had an EOD. I can't tell you what these acronyms were for, but basically they were imitating the actual Greek organizations.
Okay, the Kappa League.
So of course I was in the Kappa League.
For sure.
So, you know, the Kappas there at South Carolina State kind of just groomed us, you know, taught us how to tie ties. They did the community service. And of course, they had the girls.
It's the new way.
Exactly. I kind of feel like that was part of the deciding factor for them, you know.
Just a little bit.
Nevertheless, we won't talk about that right now.
Listen, come on now.
Just a teensy little bit, man. So,
and
yeah,
I'm
great
sitting
decision.
By two noobs as you.
Great decision,
you know,
bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, So, yeah, man, it basically just steamrolled from there. And when I got to Tuskegee, the noobs were not on the yard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So, yeah, man, but I did what I needed to do. I joined the right organization.
Lighthouse.
I got the right. Exactly. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
I got the right stuff on my resume. So when they did make it back in my junior year, I was one of the first ones in line.
That's dope.
Now, I want to, you know, keep moving right along. Cosplayer. Duce, you know, I was riding through Atlanta one day years ago, and I'm seeing everybody dressed up.
I already know.
Now, I'm thinking I inebriated or something. I don't know what it was. Because I'm thinking, it can't be Halloween. You know?
Secret society.
Would you think that it was Halloween? I would have thought that it was Halloween. I was in like little 5 points or something
like that.
But no. So you're a cosplayer.
Yes, sir.
How in the world did it happen? Because honestly, that was a word. I didn't know that that's as big as it is.
Yeah, man. Well, it's getting there.
I had no idea. Yeah.
Wait, is this same thing as anime, right?
It's part of it. Is it,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because coming from a small town in Alabama, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you don't really see that too much. No, you know, people dress up for Halloween, but that's it. And I didn't realize how big it was. I didn't realize that it was a whole community. How did you manage to get into that?
So, yeah, just like you, like, they didn't really have that where I was from. Mm-hmm. You know, you always would see stuff about a Comic-Con convention, but you'd never see none of us there.
Yeah.
So, like, I am a big The Walking Dead fan. Like, I used to watch that show.
You're a zombie.
That was my show.
Oh, man, Walking Dead.
And so I happened to be getting my master's at Tuskegee at the time, but I saw a flyer for a Comic-Con for The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? It's not too hard. It's not like you dressing up as a superhero. Mm-hmm. The Walking Dead had real characters. So I'm going to just go as this guy that carries a stick around. His name was Morgan. And the response from me cosplaying Morgan was just enough for me to really, really get serious and start dabbling into that life. I'd always been a big nerd. I'm going to introduce y'all to a new word. I don't know if y'all ever heard of it, but there's this thing called a blurred. Have you ever heard of that?
I have.
No.
I actually have a frat brother who's, he's like, he's a part of that.
Okay.
Blurred. But please explain to the audience.
Yes. So a blurred is a black nerd.
There we go.
We got our own little society. We got our own little slang. And
we made it, though.
Yeah, we made it for real. Uh-huh. And honestly, that's how I got casted on Survivor, because they had never met a black person into that type of stuff.
That's hard.
And that's all she wrote on that. So
that's tough.
Me being a blurred, you know, I just kind of found the right friends that were also into it. That, you know, the internet's a crazy thing right now. You can find anyone that's into something just by hashtagging blurred. And you find those right people, and then you go to Atlanta Comic Con, you go to Dragon Con, MomoCon.
Okay, so you keep putting up with it.
And that's I guess what surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that there was so many. I'm not being funny, so many different cons.
For sure. They all over the nation.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But
it's interesting. Yeah. And I know a lot of people personally who are cosplayers and blurs.
Yeah.
And
for
I'm
sure.
just like, I ain't like, it's honestly interesting.
Yeah,
so
man.
People go research it. Like I say, man, it's actually dope.
Yeah.
It's actually dope. Actually very dope.
For sure.
Now, does that play into you being an influencer as well?
Great segue.
Content creator, you know, influencer, content creator.
Nah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great segue because you know, as an influencer or as a content creator, first of all, let me just also give credit to Survivor because that's how I got a large following from this thing.
Okay.
And when I got back, I'm like, man, all these people are, maybe it wasn't even just about the money, but all of these people are becoming an influence based on the followers that they have. So why don't I do something like that too? So thank you, Survivor, for giving me that light to shine. And so I use that platform to really grow my niche. And then basically a niche is, you have some, you know, how you have people who are food influencers, how you have people who are working out influencers. So my lane would be a blurred lane. It really helps to go to those Comic-Cons and have that content that you can just throw on because it's not even really like work. It's kind of like your passion. It's kind of like fun.
Are you still in the woods now?
You know what?
Yeah.
I mean, I do post some content like that here and there.
Okay.
But I really bank more on the nerd content to stay relevant so that when they see me to get back on the show, then they're like, okay, he's still with it.
That's actually pretty dope.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, so.
So you're the owner of the Beltline Cosplay.
So
right?
I'm a co-owner of Beltline Cosplay.
Okay, talk to me about that a little
bit. Yeah, let me just shout out the CEO and founder of Beltline Cosplay, Larie Stark.
Okay.
So me and Larie had been buddies. We found each other on the internet, hashtag blurred. She was a cosplayer. I was a cosplayer. And we went to Dragon Con together. And when the pandemic happened, there was no Dragon Con. Of course, because
pandemic,
COVID.
It was nothing really.
You know, exactly.
Yeah. Get away,
right? But we, you know, we had to find a way to get out of the house back then, right? Like, I mean, you can't say
flights was cheap,
right?
Yeah.
So you know, they said also, I work for the CDC. So the CDC
said... We're going to get there.
Hey, wait, wait, wait.
Hold on.
I know, right?
We good around here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So working for the CDC, I know that, you know, the only really safe activities you can do is outdoors.
Yeah.
So me and Larie got together, kind of put out ads on Facebook, on Instagram, looking for fellow cosplayers for a voter registration drive where people could just come out in their costumes on the Beltline. And we could kind of just have a good time. Had a DJ out there, had some music. You know, you got everybody out there running and getting exercise and keeping the 5 feet from each other. So having their mask on, you know, you can wear your mask with cosplays. It was like perfect. It was like perfect for us. And that we kind of just steamrolled from there, man. And now, you know, we host events here in the city. Last week, we just had an Avatar The Last Airbender event for the live action that's coming out. In March, we're going to be marching in the St. Patrick's Day Parade in our green cosplay. So
I might come join y'all.
Yeah, man, come check us out. It's going to be on St. Patty's Day. So what's that? The 17th, I think.
17th.
Yeah,
17th,
man. So come check us
any
out.
Any green
you got, man. Come on out there. But yeah, it really is just an avenue to continue to create content. And, you know, kind of, it's no real age limit on it. So we are inspiring younger people who didn't know about this life. You know, I know when I was younger, I didn't know anything about it. Yeah. So now they know, learning about it now, and they're creating content. And, you know, we're doing stuff like voter registration, community service.
So it's all for the good. It's still all for the good.
Yes, sir. We're real superheroes, you know.
That's real dope, man.
I love it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you did mention CDC.
Yeah.
So you are a program director.
Yes, sir.
For the CDC.
Yeah.
For people who don't know that Center of Disease.
Yeah.
So he sent all the emails through, man.
Basically. Now, you know, we've always heard the, you know, CDC, the letters, CDC. Mm-hmm. You know, and being honest, you know, we hear it a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's like,
see the emails.
What is this? You know, some other government, whatever. But you have inside.
Yeah.
Outlook on it. That inside outlook, if that makes sense.
You know before ways.
You know before ways.
Look, man.
Now, we really started hearing about it after the pandemic.
Yes.
Like the CDC, CDC.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, first of all, how did you get that role working with the CDC?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, how was life, life with the CDC prior to COVID?
Okay.
To now.
Okay.
Two-part question.
For sure. So I keep talking about when I was getting my master's. So I was pursuing my master's in public health. And in the field of public health, the one place that you're always going to be connected with is the CDC. So I was like...
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I was like, man, I want to work there. My advisor, he was a hater, bro. He did not... I was like, bro, I ain't going to say his name. I shouldn't say his name. But I was like, hey, man, I want to work for the CDC. He really wanted people out here in the community doing things. And I'm like, no, I really want to make my difference from, you know, inside. Mm. So I wanted to work for the CDC. So I applied for...
No more inside than the CDC.
Exactly, bro. So I applied for an externship.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's... No, sorry. I applied for a fellowship. And fellowships are basically you getting paid salary, but it's kind of like a walkthrough type thing.
Okay.
So it's like you're learning. So I got that fellowship job while I was in school. So I had a job lined up, which was the opposite of me having my bachelor's when I didn't have anything lined up.
Well, that's dope.
Congrats on that.
Appreciate it. A lot of people don't.
Yeah, man. So like... life after COVID? Well, let me speak about life during COVID as a CDC employee.
Talk to me.
First of all, y'all remember when the joke was running around about your cousin at the Pentagon or your cousin at the CDC?
Yeah, man.
That is a real joke, man, because all of my family, all of my friends hitting me up day to day, day and night, asking me things, and I don't even work in the center where all the scientific stuff happens at, bro. So any information that I'm getting,
you're getting
it's
just
public knowledge. They just want to hear it from
you.
Yeah.
Hey, you could have said anything at that point.
Exactly.
We were,
yeah, man. But no, I really appreciate my role at the CDC. Basically, what I do is I do a lot of the editing, like I always tell kids this. If the zombie apocalypse happens, you're going to find out from me. So I am the guy sending out emails.
So basically, they need a brother in there.
Yeah.
Because they know if anything wrong, they know who the first ones that's going to flip out.
There you go.
So they needed them to kind of, you know, break it down for us.
Bro, that's a realer statement than you know, man. Because we trying to kill all those stigmas about black folk and not doing everything with their health and stuff. So it really helps to have us in there because you know you can trust the people that you
can't. You can't send that now.
Right.
Man, that's interesting because I think I know maybe one other person that did work for the CDC. I know it, but I've never actually had a conversation with her about it. You know, so that's very. So were things really, I guess, bad, haywire? Bad. I guess haywire, so to speak.
You know.
So and during the pandemic, for you all.
You know what? I don't even know if I should quote anything on that because I don't know who's gonna be listening. But we had everything under wraps, to where we were able to get things going and get the right messages out there and clean things up and get back to where we are now.
Okay,
this new, you know, COVID coming out right now. We still good or what's up?
You know what? I have to plead the fifth on that one too. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
No, I respect it. But you know what's crazy? I think a lot of people. You know, and we're gonna get right back to this, but I think a lot of people panicked so much. I'm a person, and I get it. It was a very serious matter. I'm not taking away from that.
Yeah.
Because no one knew what it was.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he did, but a lot of people don't know what it was. So I'm just not a panicking person.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, everybody just chill out, because I'm a firm believer that most things will run its course anyway.
For sure.
You know, but anyway, nevertheless, man, we appreciate you, you know what I'm saying, for working in that field.
For sure.
If anything else pop up, I'll be sure to hit him up.
Because
I want to hear from somebody I know to make me feel better.
You don't email us anyways.
You're right.
Might as well.
some new strain of flu out, brother. What should I do with this?
I got you, man.
But, okay, now, moving right along, man. So we're going to circle back around to the HBCU talk.
For sure.
So, what is the biggest life lesson that you learned from being at an HBCU?
Man, it's so crazy now. I can't separate HBCU life and survivor life anymore, bro. Because had I not gone to an HBCU, I probably would have gotten voted out of Survivor the first day. Let me connect this, bro. It's the resourcefulness.
Survivor had them online.
Yes, bro. Like... The resourcefulness that you learn from an HBCU will take you far in life. You know, those long lines at the bursar, know, having to figure out when you ain't got no money how to get some toilet tissue and some plastic bags out of the janitor closet.
Almost
and then, you know, you got to figure things out at an HBCU.
He was doing some stuff.
Wait. He for real? What's going on? We find who closet gonna be unlocked. Whatever gender closet unlocked. Tissue, we taking toilet paper, we taking it all.
Look, what? I ain't even gonna go into the frat stuff, but look, you learn a lot of things at an HBCU that can take you far in life. It's kind of like street smarts at
for
that
sure,
point,
yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, for sure.
You ain't lying about that. I'm say that again.
HBCU smarts. That's what it is.
There we go. That should be on the shirt. If you see me with that on the shirt, then...
Hey, give my credit, though.
There we go. Hey.
I give you credit. All right. I ain't getting no money, but I give you credit. No. Seriously.
That's pretty cool, though.
So go ahead. My bad.
So we really need to go ahead and kind of rename, you know, HBCUs for, you know, blank University Survivor Edition, basically.
I'm telling... might be on to something.
Come
there,
on,
now. You might be on to something.
Y'all
there,
see
brother.
It right here, now.
I like that.
Y'all see it.
I like that.
Hey.
You might be on to something. I'm right saying. We'll talk more about that.
I like that. Hey, they heard it first. Right. We got it dated now. We got it dated. February 21st, 2024.
Put a timestamp on it.
Notice how I said it. Not 2024. 2024, man. We got it dated. Okay, so now. Mind you know, not to get in your pocket. But hey, you could have, I don't know, you could have came from on the top of the hill. You could have came from the bottom. But what was your lowest, no, I'll take that back. What was your brokest, in you know, financial terms, college moment that you can think of?
Oh,
that's a story. That's a good story, now.
Wow. Well, you know when I was the brokest. Ooh. But I can't talk about that for real. Sure.
Well, we all know what you're talking about here. Hey,
for sure, you know, man. I can talk about it, man. We was broke as hell when we was online.
Man.
And you know, you gotta find a way, you gotta make the right relationships with the right women that's gonna help you out.
With the right women. You hear me?
Exactly. The one you can trust, the one
that can cook it everything.
It still hides your little bit.
Oh, come on, man. Nah, mm-hmm. I honestly, what's crazy is I'm about to tell y'all a hilarious story. So I got in a wreck. It's not funny, but I got in a wreck. So I got in a wreck. I totaled my car when I went home one time, and I needed a car because I had a co-op class. So the quickest car that I could get was a goddamn PT Cruiser.
Hey.
I don't know. Somebody watching that had a PT Cruiser.
I don't care what car on this earth.
No, I like PT Cruisers for the record. I like PT Cruisers. I'm not laughing at a PT Cruiser.
You would never say a PT Cruiser.
No. I'm going to tell you, though, that PT Cruiser did a lot for me. Like,
hey, he lost his own.
It was white silver.
Drop top and all.
I had to drop that one. But I say that to say, the brokest I ever been, I kind of got notorious for running out of gas in that PT Cruiser, bro.
What?
You lost your whole roster.
And if I would run out of...
Now it all makes sense. If you ran out of gas... Oh, no, we're running out of gas all the time in the PT Cruiser.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man,
you could have went to the coupe to go work.
You know, an Accord.
I'm telling you, man. And look, and I would just leave it there. And people like, oh, there go David Carr.
They know who
so
you are.
So much so that they nicknamed it the Cream Machine.
Well,
we won't dive into that, but...
Was it at least red? Was it least,
nah,
least,
man. I started to paint the tie.
Hey, what color were you in?
It was white.
Oh, you are. Oh, that's hard. Hey.
Right, but look, to circle that back around and Survivor again, though, I think that's a reason that they casted me. Like, in my interview.
They knew.
In my interview, I was like, man, I'm black and I drive a PT Cruiser. White people trust me.
He's the one.
The room died laughing, bro. The white people, they died laughing. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I would have cast you, too. Because you have a very interesting story.
Yeah, man.
You're the most untraditional
right.
us that I've talked before.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Anyway.
Last thing I would have heard.
So, yeah, man.
You asked, but you walk in, you look like then he tell us he had a PT Cruiser in it.
Versatile. We gotta watch out now.
You are good in my book, Forever, man. You are good in my book, man. Okay, so.
The PT rolling.
All right. So, look. Going back to the Greek life, I'm going to ask you a question. And I ask a lot of people that come on here. Yeah. And we can all, you know,
sure.
you want to
sure.
chime in? Well, everybody know my answer, but you can chime in on this
sure.
if you want to.
For sure.
What would you choose? What do you like better, Stepchildren or Probates?
That's easy.
At Tuskegee, it would be Probate. At Tuskegee, we probate because our probates are under the realm of being historical, too. Mm-hmm. Like, all of our probates would happen on the Ave. Now, I don't know what they're still doing now, but before New Tuskegee, we would have all of our probates on the Ave. Where
that
everyone
where the steps
would see, huh?
That's where the steps?
Yeah, that's right. Right where the steps
at.
Uh-huh. And it's just a good-ass time, man. The environment is everything, man.
I can agree. I can really agree. I say probate is better for me as well. Mm-hmm. It's because, again, it's like you kind of... We can tune in on one instead of kind of, you know, everybody getting the spotlight, which is not bad for everybody to get the spotlight. Mm-hmm. But again, when you get that HBCU feeling, even being inspired, because again, even though my brother was, you know, 2K14, mm-hmm. even when, you know, I'm at the Alpha probate, Sigma probate, just to be in the room,
the energy,
like,
absolutely. The energy.
You feel it. You feel like you out there,
it's
you know?
Electric, bro.
So,
it'll make you be like,
I'm there
next semester. Yeah.
I can't wait for my time.
Right. Yeah, and then you might think twice. Nevertheless. Anyway, but nah, man. And all seriousness, like I say, man, I definitely appreciate you for coming through.
Yeah.
If it's anything else that you have coming up that you want to talk about. Tell the audience, please tell the audience. Also tell everyone where they can find you at. Yeah, man, we're going to get you on up out
Well, I did want to, you know, just...
Please talk about it.
So for the listeners who can't see, I got on a HBCU Unity T-shirt. That's the name of the business. She's a Tuskegee grad, so I got to shout that out. HBCU Unity.
Got it.
You might have seen it.
Shannon Dillard. And so basically they have it to where they can put any HBCU combination on your shirt.
That's dope.
I got these five specifically. Mainly, so the five that I have here for the listeners are Tuskegee, SC State, Claflin, FAMU, and Payne. Payne is last for a reason. And so Tuskegee is first, obviously, because I have those 2 degrees. I have South Carolina State and Claflin here because I'm from Orangeburg, South Carolina. Those are the HBCUs that introduced me to HBCU life. And that's what's really influenced me to want to go to one. The next one here is FAMU. So I'm one of three boys. My older brother went to FAMU. You got to look up to the older brother.
That makes sense.
You know, we would visit him all the time. Yeah. And that was my first my first introduction to an HBCU out of state. Gotcha. That's kind of what made me not want to go to an HBCU in state.
That makes a lot of sense. Exactly. Okay, it makes sense now.
And then this Payne College right here.
Oh, they last.
Was that literal? That
went away. Payne was a pain. But let me tell you why.
But it on the shirt, so shout out to Payne.
Shout out to Payne. Sorry. Yeah, I'm not bad mouthing Payne, but it was my first job out of college. I was a recruiter. I was a recruiter for Payne College. Yep. And I had the worst boss you would ever. If I remembered his name, I would say it right now.
You know what?
He was a pain in my ass.
You were really name drop.
Yeah, man. I would name drop. I hope he's listening right now. Payne taught me a lot of stuff about the real world.
Now, for sure.
It taught me about the real working world.
Especially at recruiting life,
Absolutely.
Man. People say, you know, you want to travel here and there until they actually get on that role. Yep. You got to do it.
Yep. Okay. I know exactly where I'm at.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So how long did you do that?
Maybe about 2 years.
For sure.
Yeah, I was living in Augusta, Georgia.
That says a lot.
But they gave me my first job, man. That was my
on
first
salary too.
You know, my first salary job, with my first benefits. Introduction. So it had to be here with the five.
That's dope. I think I'm gonna get a shirt like that. I'm gonna get Alabama State, Tuskegee, A&M.
Yeah, you gotta get A&M.
But I went to State. We always beat y'all.
Whoa. He talking about y'all.
So that's why I'm gonna get it. My bad, dude. I do say was I out of line for saying that. I'm so not sorry. But
look, it's PG. We got to keep the PG around here. It almost got R rated around here.
The kids listening. Nah, seriously, man. It's definitely all love, man.
Yeah, that's hard. Always remember that. Regardless of the beef y'all see with HBCU, listen, we all family.
For sure. All family.
You see four people in this room right now, man. HBCU alum. Mm-hmm. We all mesh in a certain way because of that common ground that we have.
Community, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like I say, I definitely appreciate you for coming through. So please just, you know, close it out and let the people know where they can follow you at.
Yeah, man. So, as an influencer, I got to plug all of them. So, you know, Snapchat is my moneymaker. So if y'all got a Snap, go to Snap. I Snap Davey. That's my Snapchat. I'm on TikTok as Nintendo. I'm on Instagram as I Am Davey. And even though I got kicked off of Twitter recently, I got a new one.
What do you do to get kicked off of Twitter?
Twitter jail?
Bro, never mind. Bro, that's a little bit of my quote-unquote celebrity. Like, if you piss off people in the survivor community,
they canceled.
They will be reporting
you. You get canceled.
All of that stuff, man. But I got a new one. I'm Where's Davey on Twitter if you want to find me there. And did I leave out any of them? Yeah, I guess Twitch. I Twitch Davey. You can find me there, too. I'm like the only person that's got a different handle for each one, but it's worth it. Trust me.
Well, there you go. Hey, that's all that matters, man. Y'all know where to find them. So, like I said, once again, and if you have a sniffle or something, go knock on the CDC door, I guess. I don't know. But
any spell error check wrong, we know who the DM is.
Hell yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you now, something come out. and people don't know what it is, yeah. I'm gonna send them right to you. I'm like, I'm gonna answer you. But nah, man, I appreciate you for taking the time out of your day, man, come through.
Yes, sir.
And hey, y'all been tuning in to another episode of The Yard Link Up, brought to you by Historically Black Sense. See you next time.
Go, 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 go.
Peace.
Baby, it's the king's right here. You got to know we got it. Pack is extra slappy. Don't I love my vegetables, extra cheese and broccoli. Don't young lay like to kick it like karate. Don't I be with Jay Money serving everybody. Ain't we up in Magic City throwing up the private. Ain't me until taking off like a rocket. Ain't my money long.